This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us on a Friday. It's a getaway day for those people trying to get out of town just maybe one or two more times before everybody goes back to school, although my kid's back in school already. He's been back in school for a little bit over a week. As always, on a Friday, we talk to Luke Dukakis of the News and Observer, esteemed columnist, raconteur, man about town. We got a lot of stuff. We got a football game coming up in just a little bit. We have the Cats and the Pats in Foxborough. So my question to you, Luke, is if we're not going to see a ton of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, as it's been posed to me, what are we doing tonight? How are they going to make a decision, as though the decision has not already been made, as to who's going to be the starting quarterback?
I think they're just going to fight based on the practices this week. It's UFC 819. They're just going to brawl. No, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, you'd like to think, and maybe this is wishful thinking, maybe this is, hope in one hand.
Yes.
you would like to think that the Panthers went into these preseason games with a plan, whether they honestly believed in this phony competition or not. They went in with a plan to get each quarterback, whether that's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Matt Corral, the correct and proper amount of reps in preseason live action to get them ready for the Browns on September 14th or whatever that is.
Yeah.
You would like to think that. You would like to think there's a plan. You would like to think this was all sketched out within a week of Baker Mayfield's arrival and everybody's on board and everybody knows what it is. And if that's the case, then I'm fine with it. If there was a determination that there was a certain amount of preseason action that was going to be right for the number one quarterback in a new offense with a lot of new teammates and a lot of new offensive linemen, then that's fine. I think at this point, we have to trust the Panthers, even though there's absolutely nothing in their track record that suggests they're worth trusting. But you'd like to think there's a plan and they're following it. That said, if I were making the plan, I might have gone about things a hair differently. But as I said, I'm willing at this moment to take it on faith. If I'm proven wrong, fool me nine times, I won't get fooled again.
All right, Luke Dukakis, at Luke Dukakis on Twitter. Baker's going to be the starting quarterback. They didn't trade for him to back up Sam Darnold.
Correct.
And again, it would be an indictment on Baker if he couldn't beat out Darnold. But he doesn't really have to beat out Darnold. He just has to not be terrible. Because I think Baker gives them more upside than Darnold ever could, and that's fine. Do they have to move Sam Darnold, or does Darnold just go into the season as the backup and everything's cool? Because, I mean, they sort of do still have P.J. Tucker. Does anything change here?
I wouldn't. I mean, I think if you can get something for Sam Darnold, something worth acquiring, then you do it. But I also think there's value in having a veteran backup. This is not a franchise that's had great injury luck over the years.
Right.
And the other part of it is, I think it protects Matt Corral. There's going to be, because it's Charlotte, because it's the Panthers, because they're going to be 2-5 or whatever, there's going to be a clamor at some point to get Matt Corral in. And I think the best thing for Matt Corral, I mean, there's a reason this guy didn't go in the top 15 in the draft. The best thing for Matt Corral is to get an internship season where he's not under the pressure of having to go in and play under, live fire, but gets to learn from two veteran quarterbacks, whatever their merits may be. They have been around the league for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this protects Matt Corral's development. To me, honestly, that may be the most important thing the Panthers can do this season from a quarterback perspective, is give Matt Corral the best chance to develop and succeed. I think keeping Sam Darnold around does that, because there won't be that clamor if anything happens to Mayfield to throw Corral to the Lions and see what happens, which, we've seen that with quarterbacks who aren't quite ready. That can be really detrimental to their progress. So I like the idea of keeping Sam Darnold around. I don't think he hurts you. I don't think it's a distraction. Baker Mayfield's clearly the guy. He's got this 1 year for this sort of married at first sight for these guys to figure out whether they want to be together or not, and then we'll figure it out later. But I do think Sam Darnold's presence protects Matt Corral, and that should probably be the most important thing for the Panthers this year.
All right, let's move on to we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be big, and I don't mean that as a pun. The Big Ten Conference's television deals, not only with Fox, but with CBS and NBC, which will total more than $1 billion annually, only a 7-year deal. Just first of all, broad thoughts on the TV deal that the Big Ten signed, and then we'll move on to how it impacts the ACC or clowns the ACC.
Yeah, well, number one, I think it's great business if you can get a pro sports deal without paying your athletes. I mean, that's...
Well, there's news on that. We'll get to that in a minute.
It's like it's like being, you know, born on third base and thinking you hit a triple. I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, I think this is the way it's been going. When the ACC cut its deal, you know, its deals first in 2010 and then again in 2013 and 2016, there was the feeling that cord cutting was going to hurt the market for television rights and especially for linear channels. And what we've seen is that's not the case, that live sports is sort of exempt from the decline of cable and satellite packages. People, that's the one thing that and reality television and to a certain extent news are the things that people will still pay for that are still in a bundle. And look, long term, all of these sports streaming services are going to end up bundled the same way. I mean, that's just... There's a reason the cable bundle lasted for so long. And as we're learning, is it was held together by sports and news and reality TV. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Maine Cabin Masters that was keeping people in the bundle as much as I love Maine Cabin Masters. So going back to market in 7 years is very good news for the Big Ten, because in the state of the market right now, the cost of those rights are accelerating. In 7 years, Amazon and Apple are probably going to have more feet in the water, which they continue to kick tires without making a trade. It's like, you know, trying to deal with Doug Wilson when he was GM of the Sharks. Everyone talks and nothing ever happens. So,
right.
You know, Amazon and Apple at some point, and maybe Netflix and whoever else are going to probably want a piece of this at some point. 7 years might be a good time frame. Now, the risk there is the opposite of the ACC's risk. If we get to 2032, whatever it is, and we find out, 2031, we find out that sports is not exempt from the bundle and that the price of live sports rights is dropping. Maybe this is a bubble that bursts in some ways when distributors find out they can't make money off these packages in the long term. You know, then the Big Ten's in trouble because they're going to be going back to market, have this great deal. It's a great deal. There's no question about that. But they're going to be going back to market relatively quickly, and maybe the market changes for the worse. I mean, that's... There's a gamble inherent in all of this. The ACC gambled and lost in some ways, although I think that the more I think about it and the more we have sort of history in front of us, I think the revenue gap, in scare quotes, is a little overblown. I think the question is, do you have enough? And the ACC has enough. The AAC does not have enough.
Right.
Conference USA does not have enough. The Sun Belt does not have enough. But the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 have enough. So when you look at schools like USC and UCLA jumping to the Big Ten, it really just is pure greed to me. They didn't need the money. They're doing it because they want the money. And I think there's going to be dramatic negative effects in the long term, both for their recruiting, for the health and welfare of their athletes. I think that's a disaster in the making. But we'll let time tell on that. You asked, what does it mean for the ACC? I wrote about this a couple weeks ago when it sort of leaked that ESPN was out. I think it's actually pretty good for the ACC. As I said, I don't think the revenue gap is, you know, relatively speaking, the more important thing is the raw numbers, because at a certain point when you get to $1 billion, I mean, honestly, how much more money can these schools spend without paying the players? And we'll get to that, obviously. But at the moment, there's only so many locker rooms you can renovate, so many video boards you can build, so many lounges, so many putting greens, so many lazy rivers. And quite frankly, you look at Clemson, you look at ACC basketball over the last decade, the ACC has enough of that crap. Right? More money just means more administrators. It means more developers. It means more architects. It means more contractors. It means more boosters with fingers in the pie. So I don't think it hurts the ACC. I think it actually helps the ACC, because ESPN lost inventory. They lost a football game, and they lost multiple basketball games every week. And the SEC cannot fill all of that. I mean, once ESPN gets that CBS 330 SEC game, ESPN's kind of at SEC saturation levels.
Yes.
And I think what you're going to see is that noon game that used to come out of game day, which is almost always a Big Ten game, you know, Michigan-Purdue or Michigan State-Indiana or whatever, that's going to become an ACC game. Now, I know people hate noon kickoffs, but a new national kickoff on game day, or a new national kickoff on ESPN coming out of game day, is a great piece of television real estate. And that's going to be good for the ACC, not to mention all of those basketball slots that have to be filled. I mean, and I think the fact that the Big Ten is putting real basketball games, conference basketball games, on Peacock, which you don't get if you're a cable or DirecTV subscriber, right. I think that is a massive error. And I'll tell you,
I get it because I'm a Premier League guy.
Sharing a home with a Big Ten alum, the Big Ten alums are not happy about this. That is actual firsthand on the record reporting.
Well, look, as a Premier League, freak, I will have access to all the Big Ten games. Here's where it does separate. And I said this when we knew what the Big Ten TV deal was going to be. Because I agree with you with your point about how much is enough. And the ACC has enough, and they'll get more. But the separator is if the Big Ten or the SEC down the road decide, you know what, we have enough to pay players. And Kevin Warren last night, the commissioner of the Big Ten on HBO's Real Sports, said their plan down the road, 20 teams paying players. And if that's where they're going, that's the separator. If they're going to pay the players, then that's where we're headed.
But you know what I say? And maybe I'm just wrong about this, and this came up when we were talking about what happens to the ACC and who stays and who goes. You know what I say? I say let them. I don't think there's going to be as big a market as people think for fully professional college sports in professionally organized conferences like that. Look, what do people love about college sports? It's the alma mater. It's the school they grew up rooting for. They're Walmart Wolverines, but whatever. They love the rivalries. What makes this market great? We have three teams in very heated rivalries where everybody went to school together and everybody goes to work together. And then the Hurricanes come along in April and May and unify everybody. And then they get eliminated and everyone goes back to hating each other. That's what made college sports great. That's what people want to pay all this money for. And I think if you get to these massive leagues, and look, I'm not against paying players, but I think if you create a league that's identity is that it pays players, which is what I took away from Kevin Warren's comments. Our identity is going to be we recruit and pay the best players, and they're in a 20-team national league, and it's NFL light. I'm with Jim Phillips on this one. I don't think there's the same market for that. That's the XFL at that point, right? You've got Larry Fedora coaching the New Orleans Breakers at that point, or whatever USFL Redux team he's coaching. So I don't know that that's necessarily bad for the ACC. I mean, I think the ACC has a chance here, if it plays its cards right, to position itself as college athletics the way that you fell in love with. And I think there's value in that. And I think people mock Jim Phillips for kind of coming out and saying that. And I think he left himself open to that. But I think there's value in that. And I think once you look, you know this as well as I do. Pro teams fly on their own planes, on their own schedules. And you can't tell me that a team that plays the LA Kings one night and flies into Raleigh to play the Hurricanes the next night, or even 2 days later, is not at a huge disadvantage.
Sure.
USC and UCLA's athletes, once they're in the Big Ten, are going to live miserable lives. They are going to be constantly jet lagged. Mm-hmm. Their schoolwork is going to suffer. Their performance is going to suffer. This is going to be very bad. And we know this because pro teams bitch and moan and go crazy over schedules that force them to fly across the country.
Oh, I
they
can't
avoid
wait.
It like the plague.
I can't wait for the Southern Cal is 1-4 playing noon games on the East Coast. I can't wait in the Eastern time zone. All right, final thing.
But yeah, Adam, as much as we have unbelievable schadenfreude seeing USC make a bad decision that's going to cripple all of its athletic programs, and don't we all endorse that, by the same token, it's terrible for those athletes. And I do think this is what it was originally supposed to be about. And I just, everything the Big Ten is doing is just so anathema to what I like about college sports that I wonder at some point if they're not going to kill the golden goose. And to me is a huge risk.
I grew up a Southern Cal fan, so I'm team fight on. They'll be my favorite team in the Big Ten now automatically. All right, final thing. We only have about a minute or so left. Yeah. And it probably deserves a little bit more, so maybe we'll take some liberties. I'm not trying to hot take this. I'm not. And I don't think that if it doesn't go well, that it's over. I love the NC State football program. I think Dave Doran has done an outstanding job with a foundation, and they have a level of consistency that they really hadn't reached. But is this in some ways a final exam to know exactly what Dave Doran and this program's capabilities are?
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that exactly, but I think your point in general is fair in the sense that, and I've said this and I've written this, if it is going to happen for NC State, this is the year. Mm. And so in that sense, I think there is pressure to say, are we a program? I mean, it's almost like the questions that were being asked at the end of Tom O'Brien's tenure, except to kind of the next level up.
Right.
Are we a program that is going to be content winning 8, 9, maybe even 10 games and playing in second tier bowls? Or are we going to do what Wake Forest has done and shove us and Clemson aside and actually play in the Orange Bowl, actually be in contention for a CFP spot? You know, you look at what Pitt has done, obviously, in the other division. You look at what Wake Forest has done in this division. You look at what Clemson has done in this division. NC State's either going to be a part of that or not. And I think this season, that last season was too. These seasons are litmus tests for can that happen. Now, they're in better shape this season. The guys came back. They're driven. They have terrific leadership.
Yep.
They have motivation. They have everything they need to succeed, except having to go to Clemson. But there's a certain point where, let's Ric Flair this one. You're going to be the best. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to go to Clemson and beat the best. Other teams have done it. That to me is the litmus test aspect of this season. And the question then becomes, if Dave Doran can't get you over the hump, then are you satisfied with this? And maybe the answer is yes.
Oh no,
maybe I'm not. That's why I don't necessarily say final exam. I'm just saying if it's ever going to get over the hump, this is now. All the stars are aligned. This is the time.
My final exam doesn't necessarily mean that you fail the final exam and we have to get somebody else. Sometimes your final exam comes up and I got a B-. And you know what? Maybe that's where I am. Maybe I'm a B- student. So, but we have a chance to, if we study hard and we win at Clemson, we have a chance to get an A+. Speaking of A+, Luke Tkach, at Luke Tkach on Twitter.
You're too kind.
Yo, no, you're an Ivy League guy, man. What are we talking about here? I went to Maryland, who left for the Big Ten because of the riches.
Which isn't even your favorite Big Ten team anymore.
No,
you're
it's
such
not.
A traitor.
I'd forgotten that they were in the Big Ten. Luke, you're the man. I'll talk to you next week.
I knew you did. All right, man.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures.
Colors.
I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it anytime. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you. Your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
And now your halftime entertainment.
So how embarrassing is it? And I told the truth anyway, but how embarrassing is it that I had forgotten that Maryland
was in the Big Ten?
Was in the Big Ten.
I think we've all kind of forgotten about Maryland.
Completely flaked
and
about that.
Rightfully so.
But Southern Cal is my favorite Big Ten school. There you go.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Wisconsin.
You're the guy.
I am. I am 100% that guy. By the way, you know what movie's still in theaters?
No, really?
Top Gun Maverick. Still in theaters after, what, 4 months?
That is amazing.
Because it came out, I mean, actually maybe a little less than that, but it was sometime just before Memorial Day.
I wonder if now we're on, like, people have gone to see it for the third time in the theaters.
I'm highly considering going and watching it a second time this weekend.
I'm not saying you shouldn't.
That much.
I heard it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Now, Kelly McGillis is not in it, right?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Just asking the question.
I mean, is she supposed to be?
No, no. She was in the first one.
Oh, okay. I don't think she is.
Okay.
By the way, high school football starts this week. Actually, a lot of games tonight. Some games were played last night.
Right.
But obviously, majority of them being played tonight, Friday night. Because, yeah, high school football's back. Even though school's not even started for a lot of places. But high school football's back.
It's because the playoffs go on forever. So we have to get the season in. I know that at least in the at least south of the Raleigh area, there is some forecasted bad weather.
Yeah.
And I think the schedules have been somewhat altered. I can't tell you which games have been impacted, but what I can say is if your favorite school has a game tonight, just check. Just check.
Yeah.
Just don't show up to the stadium and go, wait, where's the game?
Check your local listing.
Check, exactly.
Actually, one of the reasons why a lot of games got moved to yesterday was because of weather. And obviously with most places not even being in school right now is a lot easier for places to do. So, right. Like for example, in Wilmington, we saw Northside Jacksonville at Hogger got moved up to yesterday.
Do we have a result?
I don't have one here. But go to highschoolot.com. Our good friend Nick Stevens runs things over there at highschoolot.com. You can check those out as well. For example, Knightdale at Gardner, that kickoff got moved up to 6:30.
It was supposed to be
probably 7 o'clock.
Game. Okay, a whole half hour.
Yeah, it makes a difference. You know, people got to get off work and stuff.
I understand. Got to beat traffic.
I currently, right now, will be doing play-by-play for High School OT tonight, along with Luis Fernandez from WRAL Sports, doing High School OT Game of the Week. Panther Creek at Hillside currently is our game again, weather pending.
But that sounds like a barn burner.
Honestly, probably will be.
Yeah, no, it
probably be a good game.
Yeah,
kick things off.
It's the game of the week, Dennis.
It is the game of the
week. It better be a good game.
Sometimes we can't
guarantee the outcome, but
exactly.
It's supposed to be a matchup of top teams.
It's weird. High school football in the state of North Carolina, you go 12 weeks, you play 11 games. When it comes to playoffs, you only report 10 results.
Yeah, I don't care.
But you have to report your conference games.
You get to pick and choose which game you kick out.
It's... like you can go 10-1 in the regular season, but you report 10-0. Anyway,
256 schools make the playoffs, right?
At least, it's longer than the basketball playoffs for those who get that reference. All right, Netflix has dropped a bonus episode of The Sandman. Now, The Sandman released about 2 weeks ago on Netflix. It's actually based off an old. used to be called Vertigo Comics. It was a DC Comics imprint.
Right.
Called Vertigo Comics. And it's a show based off of that. It's not a superhero story, Adam, just to let you know.
Okay.
It's not all comic books or superhero stuff, people.
Right, but Sandman, wasn't he a villain from the Spider-Man series?
But no, that's a different Sandman.
We have multiple Sandmen?
Yeah, the Sandman is the nickname, or I guess a nickname that's known for Lord Morpheus or Dream, because you have in the dream world you have dreams and nightmares, but also there's death, desire,
right,
despair. So yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, extra bonus episode out there on Netflix just for you, Adam.
Thank
you. Just for you, because I know you are pumped about that.
Yeah.
Much like you are excited for the debut episode of She-Hulk that dropped yesterday on Disney Plus.
She-Hulk, I have so many things running through my head.
I enjoyed it, by the way.
When you say She-Hulk,
mm-hmm.
like, and none of them I can say on the air.
Okay.
None of them.
Also, since you're a Peacock guy, since you're all in on Peacock.
Big fan of Peacock.
Jurassic World Dominion gets a premiere date for Peacock September 2nd, sir. So you can enjoy that.
September 2nd on Peacock?
Yeah.
I will be watching. That's a Friday, I believe, right?
It is a Friday.
Yeah. I don't know if there are any Premier League matches that day. I will not be watching Jurassic She-Hulk.
Okay. You like the second screen experiences that you see with the Manning brothers? I know Pat McAfee is going to be doing some with college football games this year with ESPN. Are you a fan of those?
It depends.
Okay.
Like, I like the Manning cast. I've enjoyed Monday Night Football that way. For Yankees-Red Sox the other day, it was the second screen opportunity was Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees on Yes.
Okay.
Alex Rodriguez and Paul Simon.
What?
Yes.
Paul Simon?
I just stumbled upon it, and frankly, okay, it was a hard listen.
That, yeah.
It was like, Simon's like nearly 80.
Yeah.
So he wasn't as quick. So the whole thing was awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I actually never heard Alex Rodriguez say anything. Michael Kay tried to fill too much of the dead air. They should have just let Paul Simon talk.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it wasn't great even when Paul Simon was talking. So it depends on who that second screen is. I loved the Mannings. Absolutely loved them. But they need to be in the same room. But they're not.
Yeah.
It would be much better if they were in the same room. Like, just do it 1 week at Eli's house, the next week at Peyton's house. Right? Or he's actually in, like, his neighbor's garage,
I
think.
Know.
I don't even think he's in his own house.
Who knows?
It's the weirdest thing.
Well, UFC 278, they announced yesterday there's going to be an alternate broadcast starring the Gronkowski family. That's right. Rob Gronkowski, Daddy Gordon, brothers Dan, Glenn, and Gordy Jr. So, yeah, the first hour is going to be simulcast starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow, again, for UFC 278, headlined by Kamaru Usman against Leon Edwards in the welterweight championship fight. And that game, that's going to be available on ESPN and ESPN Plus, shifting solely to ESPN Plus when the pay-per-view begins at 10 o'clock. So I know the prelim fights generally are on either ESPN or ABC, actually. So that's something to look out for if you're an MMA fan. Also, MMA legends Chuck Liddell is going to be part of the broadcast, as well as Patty Pimlick, current UFC fighter. Almost said UNC fighter.
It did.
But yes, UFC fighters are going to be joining the broadcast
as
well.
Chuck Liddell try to make the Rams or the Vikings a few years ago?
No.
No? Okay.
Thinking Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar. Maybe it was that.
He actually almost made the final cut, but he had a shoulder injury.
I get those two guys mixed up.
Okay. You shouldn't. You should not. But we'll leave it at that. So that's the second screen experience. Last but not least, I had someone tweet in at us. Again, this is at _ Sandy Ravage _ about why Tom Brady is actually not at Bucs camp.
Let's explore this.
So as we know, Tom Brady signed that deal with Fox, a 10-year deal to be the lead color analyst for them, essentially. Well, a few years ago, the Masked Singer actually had Joe Buck on during season 7 of the Masked Singer. Joe Buck, also part of Fox at the time.
Right.
Masked Singer, part of Fox.
Yeah.
Well, someone on Reddit did a deep dive into when filming for The Masked Singer can take place because you can be an audience member. Sure enough, the dates were July 24th through the 29th.
Okay.
August 2nd through the 9th. And August 12th through the 20th.
Right.
Huh. Interesting. When did Tom Brady leave? The 11th, for a personal matter. And he already previously stated that he's not going to be there for Bucs-Titans preseason game number two, which takes place on August 20th.
Right.
So do you think the network is having Tom Brady there right now?
Well,
the Masked Singer?
Here's my response to that is when asked about Tom Brady's return next week, Todd Bowles, the head coach, was very non-committal.
Yeah.
So if Brady was expected back from his personal matter, Bowles would have simply said, yes, he'll be back next week.
Maybe he's just playing it coy. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe there's reshoots we don't know about.
I don't know. Can your stay as the Masked Singer be longer than anticipated?
I don't know what his role with the Masked Singer would be.
I would hope it would be as a masked singer.
I hope so, too. I don't know if he's going to be a special guest judge. I'm not entirely sure what the deal with that is. But the Bucs did start training camp on the 27th during that first window.
Right.
But that's what some people do in a deep dive or think that he's filming sessions for this upcoming season.
Okay, I don't buy that, but
it's likely just a coincidence.
Yeah. Do we think Tom Brady is taking time out from training camp?
Yeah.
to do an episode of Masked Singer.
Or film multiple episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Do we believe that? Because if it was anybody else, if Aaron Rodgers had done that, people would have kittens.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty saying sure that
no. It sounds like an NDA, I'm sure, when you go do these
you
things.
You do. Obviously. I'm saying that that is not the case, but I guess maybe.
Now I'm intrigued to watch The Masked Singer for the first time in my life to see what happens.
Well, it is on Fox 50.
It is.
It's on Fox.
It is on Fox.
Depending on where you are, like here in Raleigh, Fox 50.
Yeah.
Crib.
That's what
I'm saying.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Pink Floyd all day. Nothing ever bad about that. We have a surprise coming up at 2 o'clock, Dennis. It's not a surprise to me because I know it's happening, but it's a surprise to everybody else. See? It's the way it works. And then Joe Person of The Athletic next hour. Also, Trey Boston, former Carolina Panther, former Carolina Tar Heel, and now at the ACC Network. So we'll talk with him in hour number three. Last night was a successful one at the window for Dennis and me. So let's see if we can do it again.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal in Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
I'm plus like 1,700 in the last 3 days.
Nice.
It's crazy. Went two for three last night.
I'm plus 85.
It's still good. Plus anything is good.
Plus 90, I think.
Plus anything is good. I had my my Greek League, the Cyprus League draw happen last night. Olympiakos and Apollon.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how to say it. Anyway, who cares? We're placing bets. You go first, Dennis.
Yeah. By the way, more Pink Floyd as we place bets.
Even better.
Exactly.
You know what? I didn't even realize that until.
Really?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I haven't bumped with money is because we use it during this segment.
There you go.
A lot of preseason football action tonight. I'm going to parlay this.
Sure.
Pats, Packers, Texans, they all win plus 315.
Pats, Packers, Texans.
Yes.
All win.
Texans are playing the Rams, and Rams don't play any of their starters at all during the preseason.
They're playing their starters' children, I believe.
I believe so.
Excellent work. All right, I like it. I like all of that. All right, let's. This could end up being all Premier League. I don't know. Crystal Palace, Aston Villa.
Okay.
At Palace, I see this as a very. I think it's at Palace. I see this as an absolute even match draw plus 210.
Okay. All right.
Palace, tough squad to play against.
Already yesterday put a bet in for Fulham versus Brentford. You did. Draw 245.
You did.
All right, I'm going to go lacrosse.
Of course you are.
Yep, parlaying this together.
Friday, lacrosse and
UFC.
And MMA fights.
Yeah, that's what I'm giving you.
Yep.
Give me the Chrome, Archers, and Whip Snakes all to win at plus 270.
Oh, man, what's the Whip Snakes record?
8-1.
How does a team with the name the Whip Snakes ever lose?
Well, they're all Maryland guys.
Doesn't matter. They're Whip Snakes. That just sounds like I wouldn't want to mess with you.
That's why they've been to three straight championships and won two of them, Adam.
Exactly. All right, my second match. Chelsea playing at Leeds.
Okay.
Chelsea looked really good last week against Tottenham. The first week at Everton, they looked absolutely dreadful in winning 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Leeds needs a result here. I think they get it. I'm not going to give you the score, although I like 1-1, but this game is going to end in a draw. Leeds gets a good result for Leeds. against Chelsea, who's clearly one of the top teams in the table.
So you're saying Chelsea leads draw?
Leads draw, plus 325.
Actually, I see it at plus 350.
Oh, I'll take 350.
Yeah, I got plus 350.
I like that.
All right, UFC 278 tomorrow. A couple big fights, including middleweight fight between Paulo Costa and Luke Rockhold, and a welterweight title fight between Kamaru Usman and Leon Edwards. Give me Costa to beat Rockhold by either knockout, TKO, or DQ. And take Usman winning by decision over Leon Edwards at plus 205.
Excellent. You're parlaying everything.
Yeah, everything.
You're trying to get all the way ahead.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. All right. I believe the Baltimore Ravens have won like 21 consecutive friendlies.
Okay.
It's a stupid number like that.
Mm-hmm.
It ends this weekend. Cardinals. At home, plus 210 over the Ravens.
All right.
There you go. Cardinals, I was going to go with another EPL match, but I think, we can't keep going to that well, can we?
You can go whatever well you want to.
Yeah, but we got to mix it up. And people need football to really focus on.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.